Welcome to Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. My name is Beth Schenk. I'm a registered nurse in Missoula, Montana, and hosting today's podcast. Today, our guest is Lisa Campbell, professor at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in the School of Nursing. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Beth. How are you doing?
Doing great. Please let us know a little bit more about yourself. What's your work and your interest?
Sure. So I've been a professor at Texas Tech University in the School of Nursing for 5 years, and I teach in the Doctor of Nursing Practice program. I'm a public health nurse, and I teach population health, epidemiology, health policy, which is a wonderful course for me to teach because of my interest in policy and advocacy. And my area of interest specifically is really in helping public health nurses and nurses in general with their advocacy and policy work. So really to help empower them to do that work and to work with communities who are interested in issues related to environmental health.
Interesting. So how did you get interested in environmental health particularly?
So I'm really glad you asked that question. Quite frankly, Beth, by accident, or maybe not by accident, I was reading the morning paper several years back, and I saw where a group of citizens in a small pocket of our county had signed a petition to block a fracking injection well in their community and in their little city. And that petition was going to be presented to the county commissioners because the citizens in that little city of our county were asking for them to help block that well. And so I showed up to commissioner's court. I wrote a little bit of testimony before I went because it was something very new to me. And I must admit, I was a little bit nervous because I'd never done that before. And it went beautifully. And when I was done, one of the commissioners asked me if I'd be willing to help the citizens of this small little city in our county with the issue and help him with the issue. And I said yes. And I was hooked. That hooked me in. So it was sort of fortuitous, I guess.
So that was your first experience with both with fracking and with advocacy, or one or the other, just to clarify?
So it was my first parlay into work around fracking and environmental health. But actually, Beth, my work in terms of advocacy and policy started in 1989 when I was the president of Texas, the first president of Texas Nurse Practitioners, and helped to get limited prescriptive authority for advanced practice nurses in the state of Texas.
Wow, nice job. That was undoubtedly a challenge.
It was. It was indeed. But we had to really get the right nurses on the committees that were working with the Board of Medical Examiners. And I happened to be able to make the call and presented it in a way that we got the right nurse on the committee. So it really was to our favor.
That's terrific. So you have had a lot of experience with nursing, both yourself and other nurses, as advocates. Tell us a little bit about why that makes sense. Why are nurses good at that, or why is their voice important for that?
Beth, I really believe nurses are skilled in explaining things in a way to really our patients or let's say community in a way that they can understand it. And I believe we're adept at digesting information, maybe even complex issues, and putting it away, framing it in a way that looks at the issue and its effect on health. The individual's health or the community's health or the population's health. And so it makes total sense for nurses to do that. It seems like most nurses are just incredibly adept and gifted at doing that.
So tell me a little bit more specifically about your role with environmental health. You got into it via this experience with fracking, but I know now that you're involved in ANI, you're involved with the APHA Public Health Nursing Section. What else are you doing or thinking about these days with environment and health?
Oh, sure. Actually, it's really interesting that you asked me that question because As the chair of the Public Health Nursing Section of the American Public Health Association, we have a liaison to the Nurses Coalition for Climate Change and Health that Annie has helped to coordinate. I'm on the board of the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments. And right now, I've started a series of dialogues with nurses in the U.S. Public Health Service, nurses who do emergency preparedness or disaster response that work with the Red Cross. And I'm going to have a dialogue with a group that does environmental work, Eco America, actually, and their faith-based organization to really look at readiness to address the disasters or the emergency conditions that environmental effects of climate change are going to have on the population they're having now and will have in the future. We really don't know what we're going to face. And so I really believe that if we could figure out, and it is a kind of a daunting task, but to figure out a national data bank and response team of professionals that are ready to respond in their communities locally, that really would be an amazing gift to our nation and maybe a model for other countries as well.
And do you see a nursing having a particular role in that as being present in local communities?
Absolutely. I see nurses as really taking the lead on this issue. That's why we've started these dialogues specifically to look at emergency preparedness to address these disasters or the environmental effect of climate change on health. And so nurses really are prepared to lead this work. Yes, absolutely, Beth.
Has the recent experience of the major hurricane in Houston, has that provided evidence or study opportunities or learning opportunities for you in this work for planning for disasters?
Well, having a family in the Houston area that were affected by Harvey, it certainly has hit home for me. And the need for people to have individual plans for preparedness plans for emergencies. It's also really made me think deeply about how could we respond better? How could we work in public health with our hospital partners and other partners, faith-based partners, to actually respond to these situations and prepare, right, to mitigate any of the effects that we're experiencing now and will experience in the future. So it's really caused me to pause and reflect deeply on this issue.
Well, thank you for your work on it. It will be more and more important as time goes on and we experience more of these crises and start to figure out that we need to prepare for them, as you say.
Absolutely.
I have a question for you that will require a bit of reflection, perhaps, but I'm just, you know, appreciating your illustrious career that you have had and are still having, and you've been in prominent leadership roles well ahead of your time, both with your work early on with the nurse practitioners and now thinking about preparation when really much of the country is more focused on dealing with the aftermath. I'm curious about what motivates you and what do you think motivated you to get you into nursing to begin with and then into these complex, community-based global issues that you're working on.
I would say what drew me to nursing primarily was really relationships and the ability to be in relationships, very intimate relationships with people who are experiencing a range of issues in their life, from physical to psychological to spiritual to that cut across all aspects of our life and the ability to really help individuals. So it's really been a calling for me. And so every day I think about the activities that I'm involved in now, which can be a little bit overwhelming. And so I just asked for the strength, really, quite frankly, for God to give me the strength to really meet the challenges every day and the bandwidth to meet those challenges. We really are going to have to think very, we're going to have to think in a very strategic way to address the environmental effects that we're seeing in our nation and in our world, quite frankly, globally. And think about how we can reach across the waters to work with our nurses in other countries. I know Annie has got a advocacy work group with nurses from Australia and the UK, but we need to be thinking about how we can tap in even further and stitch together those networks, because Beth, really, in sharing our stories, they can do several things. It can provide inspiration. It can also provide the energy to move forward and ideas that could be translated in other areas of the country, in the United States, and across the world, really. So the networking and the partnerships that we create will be really, really important to leverage our resources moving forward to address the impacts of climate change on health.
And that comes back to what you said early on about what drew you to nursing was the relationship. So that sounds like that's been an ongoing theme for you.
Yes, absolutely, Beth.
What would you say about your approach to advocacy, in especially in challenging situations and topics that may, people really may not see it the same way? I hear what you said about nurses are really good at bringing it back to health. And I just wonder if you have any wisdom for us on how to talk effectively with people who may see it differently or that want to learn from you.
Yeah, so I've made a lot of mistakes, Beth, in my advocacy career. And the main mistake that I've made in my path, if I could provide lessons learned to the listeners, is I let my emotions get in the way. There's many issues that we take the mantle up, and I've felt very passionate about those issues. And when you talk with somebody who's vehemently opposed to what you're talking about, I find myself getting rather upset. And what happens is, when I get upset, I can't communicate effectively and make my point, and it blocks the communication. So what I've done lately is I've gone in with the mindset that the other person has their right to their opinion, and we don't have to agree, but I'm there because I to help improve the health of our of my community, of my state, of my nation. And that is an important charge. And so I've had to get myself, if you will, out of the way and really think about how to present stuff to individuals who really don't agree with me. And so I try to look at our common shared values. We want our children to be healthy. Everybody wants clean air. Everybody wants clean water. So, in talking about the fracking, really focusing on clean water versus we're trying to tell oil and gas what to do and clean air and those kinds of things, I've been a lot more successful doing that than to go in and try to say, oh, well, the oil and gas companies are wrong, whether I believe it or not. So, really trying to find the common shared value that I can focus on and deliver the advocacy message as a nurse.
Well, that's terrific and great advice. And you said it right there. You're really advocating. You're advocating for health. You're advocating for your community. Advocating for others. You will benefit from it, of course. But that's a different perspective than trying to make your point.
Yes, exactly. And
Yeah.
that took years of work to come to that.
Well, tell me with that in mind, what is your biggest concern right now, looking at the whole picture of public and community health, global health, in terms of environment and health? What are you most worried about right now?
Thinking about Harvey and also thinking about those in Puerto Rico who still are without services, what I'm the most worried about is addressing the mental health challenges that we are facing and will continue to face with the environmental, with climate change. And what I mean by that is with temperatures rising, and especially in the South, in the Gulf Coast area where I live, when it's hot and you don't have air condition, you can get really irritated and tempers can flare. And then as a result, you might get short with your children. And as a result, we could potentially have, we could have more child abuse as an example. And so when you think about it with climate change, you have to think about the if then, if this happens, what's going to happen next? Sort of the chain reaction or the domino effect. And as a former public health department director, Beth, what we were seeing also is with the changes in rain conditions, we would have erratic rain and elevated temperatures, which are ideal conditions for mosquitoes, right? And so we would have more mosquitoes than we had had in the past, and we had to really step up our mosquito abatement program in Victoria County, where I was the health department director. And we worry about things like, you know, West Nile virus and other types of zoonotic diseases as a result of mosquitoes, vector-borne diseases. So really mental health issues and vector-borne diseases really concern me, but mental health primarily with those who are affected.
Do you think of, do you have solutions in mind? I mean, I know the largest scale solution would be to turn around climate change, but short of that, since we're going to face many decades before that's done, if it is, regarding mental health particularly, do you have solutions in mind or ways to alleviate some of those stresses? Because as you say, it's not just at the acute heat stress phase, but right. also when people are left without power, without food, without water, without homes for some time.
Right.
What do you have in mind for that?
It's so daunting to think about even where to start. Some of the, okay, so one, if we think about policy, so we do need more providers, healthcare providers, mental health care providers to really address the needs of you know, many, many individuals that have issues. I mean, just common stress, right, can lead to all types of issues, especially with climate issue, climate change issues. So in thinking about having an increased number of mental health care providers, we need to look at advocacy around scope of practice for advanced nurse practitioners as an example. Thinking creatively about what types of providers could help communities with mental health issues. So do we need some coaches who are working with the advanced practice nurses or with psychologists or with psychiatrists? So thinking about how we can expand the types of individuals who can respond, right, appropriately to the needs of the community members. Also having a lot more public awareness and public education about where to access help and resources. So if you're stressed out and you're upset with your kids, maybe we need some parenting classes. You know, I could think of a whole, we could do a root cause analysis and a lot of strategies, quite frankly, to address it. But I believe expanding the mental health care providers would really help a lot, and thinking creatively about that.
Well, it seems like there's more awareness right now in the past, I don't know, 5 to 8 years or so about mental health as a really pervasive issue. I know when we look at our hospital, that mental health diagnosis is the number one diagnosis, either as a co-diagnosis or a primary diagnosis. And it is a big issue despite a catastrophic event such as a long-lasting hurricane. So I hope that some of that is tied together. I have not heard folks talking a lot about the mental health aspects of climate change in the treatment phases. You know, I've heard about it in terms of environmental health authors. So that's an important issue to draw out.
Yeah, we really do need to start thinking about holistically, Beth, the mental health issues and really precipitating factors of stressors that our community members are going to experience.
Right. Well, one of my next questions is, what would you like to say to your community? It sounds like you just delivered such a message. But what else would you say to others working on these issues or other issues?
Well, in terms of advocacy, so the wonderful thing is really interesting. So this year, the American Nurses Association has taken this as the year of advocacy, which is perfect for these podcasts. And what I would say to our communities is that to come together in coalitions or in groups where you can, where stakeholders and individual community members can come together to really discuss these issues so that they can prepare to as a community, because every community has a very unique DNA. They're not the same. And so the approaches in individual communities, you can't necessarily have the same approach. You have to have a unique approach, and the community members coming together with, say, public health professionals and nurses can develop plans to actually mitigate the effect, or prepare for emergencies that are going to arise because of climate change, to actually help the health of their citizens, because we want to create cultures of health.
Terrific. Thank you. Is there something you'd like to say to nurses? You know, you've had and are having, as I said, a great career in both public health and community health and advocacy and environmental health. What would you say to new nurses or not so new nurses?
Yeah, so this is what I would say, that every nurse needs to be an advocate. And if you've never advocated, I mean, think about it. Actually, I would say that every nurse has advocated at some level, whether it's in a hospital where maybe you identified an issue that you were concerned about and you took it to your supervisor or director of nursing, and a policy was changed that actually improved the health of the patients or the delivery of care. That's advocacy. We advocate for our patients as an individual. We can take that skill and translate it into advocating with community members on issues that impact the health of your community. So I would say, don't be afraid. If you've never done it before, just talk about what you know. We know as a nurse how to take care of people and how to communicate issues. So talk up, you don't have to know it all. Just talk about what you know, and then partner with another nurse who's more experienced with advocacy so that you can be mentored into that role. That's what I would say to nurses. Every nurse should be an advocate and is an advocate.
Great reminder. I totally agree with you. And the and as
Thanks,
and as you
Beth.
say, nurses advocate all the time for their patients. That's part of what's expected of us. But then once a nurse sometimes thinks about, well, what do you mean at a city council meeting? I couldn't do that. Or at Capitol Hill, I couldn't do that. But really, nurses have marvelous voices because, as you say, it's in a bedrock of experience and actual knowledge from working with patients, clients, and communities.
Well, you're exactly right, Beth. And I'd just like to say, you were talking about city council, and I actually was the spokesperson for our Smoke-Free Victoria campaign back in 2006. And the citizens, it was on the ballot to have a smoke-free ordinance in public spaces. And I was interviewed by the television and the newspaper and on radio, and I spoke about the health effects of cigarette smoke on individuals and secondhand smoke. And do you know, Beth, that the citizens of Victoria County voted for that smoke-free ordinance? And so now they've been smoke-free since 2006, and that is an environmental health issue. And so nurses can do that. You can speak to the health effects of smoking or whatever issue it is, because we are the number one trusted profession in the United States.
That's terrific. And just think how many cases of COPD you have alleviated, how many cases of asthma exacerbations, maybe tipping the scale on cancer down a bit, because we know the dangers of that. So good for you.
Right, right. Thank you, Beth.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to say today before we sign off?
Tell everybody to take up the mantle of advocacy and just really push yourself a little bit, because this is the year of advocacy, and I would love to see every nurse out there advocating with somebody else, with community members on very important issues. And I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to share this with your listeners.
You bet. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for joining me today. And all the listeners, thank you for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. Check us out at Envirn.org. And please leave a review for us on the Apple Podcasts on iTunes so we can be found more easily. Talk to you next time.